My father was in the Navy in World War II and was in Hiroshima and Nagasaki within days of the nuclear bombing. He didn't share that with anybody in the family until I was in my mid-40s. My father passed away almost 5 years ago this summer. So even though the book is dedicated to my mother, who's still living, it tends to be the focus of the book is my relationship with my father, I think, and that's kind of the key poem that holds it all together, you know, the Paper Lanterns poem.
In that poem, there's the line about what he saw, and it's not just nothing. You write nothing, nothing, nothing.
Well, that's maybe too Shakespearean. Initially, there was something that's a little more prosaic there, and one of my readers again tugged at my sleeve and said, "This is not working," and so I thought about it. It has a mirror in the poem on the previous page. I've never repeated a word in a poem before, but I have back-to-back poems in this collection, one called Dirigible, which ends with burning, 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 like the Buddha's holy vision. And then on the next page, you've got the paper lanterns and my father withholding this key information, I thought, in our attempts to communicate as father and son. And why did he withhold things that important? Nothing, nothing, nothing. You know, it tends to be typical of that generation. You know, they just didn't communicate. There's a couple other poems in the book about that, too. One called Herring Loss, which is based on a terrible pun, because the previous poem is about my son's hearing loss, and is the only found poem in the book, which is his actual science notes from the fifth grade about hearing, you know, what we hear and sound waves and whatnot.
So I'm sorry, the poem, sixth grade science notes.
Fifth grade, yeah.
Fifth grade.
Right.
It's, I think, on page 23. Those were actual notes.
Actual. That's a found poem. All I did is put a frame around it.
It's beautiful.
Well, I've had other people comment to that effect, so thank you.
The poem that I reread the most, and I don't know if that means I liked it the most, but the one that kept taking me back was Nature Channel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind reading that?
Nature Channel. You hesitate above the cluttered TV tray. The coyotes have come once more for the baby elk. The mother stands her ground for as long as possible, pausing between rounds to lick the baby's face. She knows deep down this signifies goodbye. There are five of them and only one of her. Patiently they circle the doomed pair in this ancient game whose rules are foreknown. And time, like some wind-up automaton, some merciless, predictable rerun, seems always on their side.
Not many, but some of your poems refer to people, places, or events in history that not everyone will instantly recognize.
Like the Forlorn Hope.
Like,
right?
Forlorn Hope, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, and as you mentioned, those are the...
Those were the volunteers to go through the breach in the fortress wall during, you know, the Napoleonic Wars.
Who would literally become cannon fodder.
Yes, their chances of survival were virtually nil.
When you refer to Forlorn Hope or something like that, do you ever question, does it ever worry you that if someone doesn't know that historical or geographical reference?
Sure. Liz and I talked about maybe having a page of notes for obscure references, and in the last days before it went to press, you know, we decided to risk it and not over-explain things.
And I guess forlorn hope, even if you didn't know that historical reference, mm-hmm. those are still two words together that are
sure
pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's like Faye Jones's Thorn Crown, you know, some of his pairings that mm-hmm. were kind of intuitive.
You know, speaking of two-word pairings, you know one that's in the book Paper Lanterns that I love? No. Is Furball Walenda.
Oh, really? Squirrels, yeah, I still see them daily.
And this is about walking the squirrels on the electrical line tight ropes.
Right, right. And I always think of a line from Baudelaire, you know, mon semblable, mon frère, you know, my brother, my likeness, and when I see those squirrels, because that's the perfect metaphor for you and I and everybody who lives in this crazy society of ours, you know. trying to balance our sanity and our health, you know, with all the stress and requirements of our jobs and family and responsibilities.
Do you mind reading another one of your choice?
Not at all. Another early reader accused me of not being afraid to show my dark side. And it doesn't seem like my dark side to me. It's just where I live, you know, but I was frowning even in my baby photographs. But I consider myself an optimist, a fierce optimist. A little poem later on that might call Residual Beauty. It's about some of the females in my life. Residual beauty. So slowly does it accrue that even you begin to notice after half a century. It manifests in the clothes you choose, the jewelry, the flowers conjured in your yard. Elusive, hard to startle, though you often do in dreams. It settles like a butterfly on thistle, becomes for one brief moment the focus of your attention, something so utterly familiar that your looking makes it new.
You mentioned someone commenting on your dark side. I've always thought you just had a very dry sort of sense of humor.
That term has come up many times. Thank you.
And I refer to almost the last page of this book when it's the bio. And you read through the bio, and at the end, it says the author can be reached for the foreseeable future at this email address. Mm. I've never seen a contact with that phrase before.
I don't want to be presumptuous, you know. I may get run over crossing the street tomorrow. So, for the foreseeable future, you know, I wish the best for all of us.